Then let's get into it.
This week, we're kicking it old school.
That's right. All right, let's get into it. Oh, man. Welcome, everybody, to the Beginner Photography Podcast. I'm Raymond.
I'm Callum.
And we are back once again for another exciting and riveting episode. I'm just kidding. It's not riveting. It's exciting, but it's
no rivets.
Would you call it riveting?
There's no rivets. But it is episode 25.
That's right. That's my lucky number. So we all know that this is going to be a good one right here.
Epic.
Today is a little bit different. We kind of got some requests to like kick it old school like we did in the beginning and just kind of freeball it and just kind of hang out and talk about some things. And one thing that was brought up was like inspiration. You know, we talk a lot about what, you know, the technical side about it and how to do things, I guess, quote unquote, correctly. But we rarely talk about what inspires us. So that is what we are going to do today. But first, we got news, Callum, don't we, about this contest?
Yeah. So we, as you know, as you should know, we have been running a contest. You submit a photo, you hashtag it, if it's on Instagram or Facebook, hashtag my BPP giveaway. You know, and you got to be following us as well. We appreciate that. And we put you in a draw, and we will be giving away. You got it in your hands there, Raymond. Where is it? It is an Instax
right
Mini
here.
8. So it's just like that. Everyone knows this camera. It's awesome. If you're just listening to us, Raymond is playing with it now.
I love it. It's so much fun.
So we're running this because you submit a photo. We're going to give away one of these. But we did have some issues. We don't run contests on Instagram or Facebook
this often. This is our first.
Read, never. So we actually learned that somewhere along the line, some of these photos weren't getting into our eyeballs because we weren't tagged in them. So on Instagram, you got to tag us so that we can – at least it notifies us and lets us see it. And because of that, we're going to extend the contest. How long, Raymond?
Yeah, we really dropped the ball on this one. We feel like we didn't give a lot of people a fair chance. So we are going to extend the contest for 2 more weeks, which is great news for you. That's more chances to get in your awesome photos for us to see and have a great chance at winning this totally awesome film camera with some film, which means that we will announce the winner on Monday, June 20th. Hopefully it's you. And if you want to be the first to know, got to sign up for the newsletter as well, which you can do over at beginnerphotographypodcast.com. Up at the top, you will see a link to download our 5 secrets to taking better photos now, which you will be able to sign up for the newsletter right then. That is going to be the best way to know who wins and, you know, your best chances. So, for everybody who has submitted photos, we haven't forgotten about you. Your votes aren't, you know, erased. We're just continuing on the contest just to give everybody a fair chance because I feel bad. We've received a ton of messages from people asking if we can see their photos. And we haven't been able to. And, you know, at the core, it's just that we just weren't tagged in the photos. We can't see the photos that we're not tagged in. So that is what you need to do. Everybody who's participated so far, I apologize. But continue to upload your photos and you're going to have a great chance to win.
True story.
Cool.
True story.
So, Callum, what's been going on with you this week? It's been a busy one, hasn't it?
Yeah. So this week I threw out a ton of Facebook and Instagram ads just at work. I met up with a really cool couple earlier today who found me through that. They are so cool. I'm going to shoot their wedding at a venue that's not even built next year. Not even built. It's going to be ready this September.
Dang, and it's not even built yet.
It's not even built yet, and they're getting married next June.
That's crazy.
So that's kind of wild. That's been going on. I've had a lot of work with a local Toronto Painter, as we all know, that's an ongoing project with him. So I've been spending a lot of time in his studio, seeing his process and how he works. And Raymond is now Snapchatting me.
You got to keep up. You got to keep up.
Got to keep up. And other than that, I went out Friday. So I felt like I hadn't done anything naturally, organically creative in about a week. So I went out with my friend Neve Shimshin. He's another Toronto wedding photographer. We went out for about a few hours to the lakeside and just kind of shot. Had some fun and tried some new techniques. He is really getting into the ring of fire. He's really good at it. That Sam Hurd recently revealed to the world, you know. And we also tried some other things. I tried shooting through a Ziploc bag for a second.
Just 1 second.
Yeah, it didn't go so well. That's why it lasted 1 second.
I see.
And this weekend, I met with that couple there. Oh, they're awesome. So I'm really stoked about that. But enough about me, man. What have you been up to?
This week has been really awesome. We kind of shared a lot of how we, advertise and how we get clients. Yeah. In this past week, I just had, or I guess it wasn't the past week that I had an enormous response, but recently I've had a very enormous response. But this last week, I scheduled 5 engagement sessions, and it was absolutely crazy. So, and it just went kind of haywire, some of them. One of them, we scheduled engagements at a bar/arcade that we scheduled it for 2, and they didn't even open up until 4. So
nice.
That's when, you know, the wheels started turning of what am I going to do now? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Because this was something that they really wanted to do, was go to this really cool arcade/bar and get these photos done. So in almost, you know, an instant, you had to switch gears and just try to find something beautiful around you. Sometimes can be tough in like an industrial type location that this bar was. And I'm really excited to talk about, what I looked for in these photos when we get deeper into the podcast, all about inspiration. But ton of great couples, had a bunch of fun, went to 2 breweries, as well as ice cream shop with a dog. That was cool. The light that night was phenomenal. When I got home, I wanted to cry because they were so beautiful. We got in a bunch of Brennizers, which I tried out, some new stuff, and it just turned out really great. So what's that?
No, you finish, and I'm going to ask a question after.
So after I got home, you know, it was trying to get them excited about these photos. And I think that for me, the biggest thing is sneak peeks. So when I got home, I created a week of sneak peeks for Facebook. And then every day I would just post a new sneak peek, obviously tag the couple in it so that they would see it. And it turned out really good, even for my business. When you tag couples in your photos, they see it, they share it with their friends, and then you end up getting, you know, new eyes on your work and, you know, fans of your page. So that was really exciting. Epic. Today I finished up editing the rest of the engagement sessions, which was bananas. And you know what I used, Callum? I'm not going to lie here. I used our beginner photography podcast free preset.
What?
I did.
No way.
As a base. And then I just kind of continued to tweak it a little bit more to fit my style. And I really liked how it turned out. So, You know what? I might even use it a little bit more in my business.
I see. Interesting. You used it. So I was going to ask you how you like, have you been shooting Brennizers for a while?
Yeah, I've been shooting Brennizers for, we're going down the slippery road right here. I really hate what I'm about to say, because it's going to make me sound like a hipster. But I...
You were doing Brennizers before Brennizers were cool.
right. Except he did it, obviously, way better than I did it. And his technique of actually stitching them together to just make one photo is not what I was doing. But what I was doing was taking... shot after shot after shot after shot after shot. And then what I would do is I would print up those photos and then just lay them down on a mat on top of each other, and it would look like this really interesting kind of composite type photo. There was an app on the iPhone 4, which was the first iPhone I got, called Auto Stitch, and it was kind of the same thing. I realized that the camera on the iPhone 4 was like a 40 mil equivalent, and sometimes I like it just a tiny bit wider than that. So I would always end up taking two or three photos, stitching it together, and then having a slightly larger, wider photo.
Right.
I never thought about using it with couples or portraits or anything, really, until Ryan Brenneiser started doing it and talking about it. And when I discovered that, it was just a much more efficient way of doing it.
Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
Epic. So, yeah, so I mean, what focal lengths are you shooting your Brenneiser? Because I know you're on the Fujis. And you recently just got the Fuji, what is it? What's the...
It's 100 to 200 mil zoom. But I didn't really get that for Brenneisers because it's a pretty slow lens. It stops down to f4.8 at 200 mil, which I know that I could have bought the 70 to 200, 2.8 equivalent. It's really a 50 to 140 on the Fuji. But... I really like being as light as humanly possible, as fast as humanly possible, and just the added weight and how much I would use that lens didn't make sense for the cost, because I only bought that lens for the ceremony at a wedding, essentially, is so that I could get extra reach when they're coming down the aisle, which really, I mean, I don't spend a lot of time doing that, you know, as a wedding photographer. I mean, you're only there for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes inside of the ceremony. You shoot that, and then, you know, it just goes back to my typical 35-85 millimeter combo.
That is exactly how I feel about my 70 to 200. I don't remember the last wedding I took it to. Actually, you know what? I do. It was a maybe last September.
Wow.
Maybe last August.
So it's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, I've used it for some other stuff, but it's not getting its use, you know.
Right.
Click per dollar, not great.
Totally agree. I'm on the exact same page with you there.
I think we share the same ethos around staying light and, you know, letting us do the work. You know, there's usually two camps here, and it's, you know, you get the 14 to 24, the 24 to 70, and the 70 to 200, and they're like, you're covered for everything, but you don't have to move as much because you can zoom, pull out a bit, and pull back. We both like the prime. I mean, at least I do, and I know that I think you feel the same way. When you're in Canons, you love the prime. So
yeah, I actually own, when I was on Canon, I was nothing but primes except – I take that back. I was going to say I was nothing but primes except for I did have one zoom, which was my 17 to 40 mil. And honestly, it stayed at – I used it for two uses. I used it at 17 mil for all of my like exterior shots. But then I thought that it was great for the reception as well. But then it was only – it was basically always stuck at 40 mil. So it was essentially just two lenses in one. It was either a 17 mil or a 40 mil. Once again, I went with that one as opposed to the 16 to 35 because it was much lighter, because it was an F4 and not the F2.8 as the 16 to 35 is. So, but right now I don't, the only zoom that I own is that 100 to 200 mil. 100 to 200?
Raymond doesn't even know.
55 to 200. I mean, that's just how little, like, I really, you know, care about zooms. It, basically, I'm just going to keep it at 200 and shoot it as, you know, a bride is walking down the aisle and then throw it back in the bag and never use it again on the day. But, you know, that's just one of those things that it's a necessary evil. And just cutting down on what it is that you don't need. And for me, that was the extra speed of the 2.8 and the extra weight that comes with it. I don't need it. And I don't think that I take enough of those photos for the extra depth of field.
Yeah. This is same boat right here. You know, I have the 85-1.8 Nikon. Bought that, what was that, 2 years ago or so. And at the time I was like, no, I'm not paying double for the 1.4. And I'm just like, it's just not good enough. I got the 70-200 because I was shooting longer when I first started, before I really got my style down.
Right.
And you know, I think probably in retrospect, I could have saved that money and went somewhere else with it.
Sure.
You know, but having it in the bag or having it at least in the house is a good safety measure, you know, when you can, you know, afford or, you know, feel justified in having it. Because, you know, I'm sure there are actually some ceremonies I've shown up without it and went, I could have used it here.
Of course. Yeah.
And you're a little restricted, but again, like you said, Raymond, you know, there's so few photos that you need to get super close for. And I don't get a lot of weddings where I'm restricted to stay at the back of the pews or anything. Mm-hmm. I usually just crawl on my knees towards the front with my 85 and get what I need. That said, I hate the Canon users because they have that beautiful 135, and Nikon hasn't come out with a good 135. I was praying for Sigma to drop a 135 on us because I would have snapped that up in a heartbeat, but they went and
dropped the 85.
The 85-1.4. So that was interesting. The 85 apparently looks really good. I think probably I'm going to stick on my, I'm going to stick to my Nikon.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of the same way, is that, when I was on Canon, there were plenty of times where I could have bought the 85mm 1.2, which is, you know, what everybody calls bokehlicious. And it is an amazing lens, but for how much it weighs and for how slow the autofocus was and for how much it costs, I mean, like, $2,000 more than the body of my, the same price as the body of my camera.
Yep.
I just couldn't justify it. So I also shot with the 85 1.8, and it was like a $300 lens. You know, I got the thing used a long time ago, and it was just a workhorse. It was great. I never found a need for the extra stop to go down to 1.2. So, It's all about just keeping light. It's all about keeping up and being able to, you know, stay with the action. And the 85 1.8 allowed me to do it. So on my Fuji, I have the equivalent of a 35-85, but the actual focal lengths are 23mm and 56mm. The 56mm is a 1.2, I mean, which is exactly what I had on the Canon, which I'm fine with, but infinitely sharper, I think. It's just a much, much, much better lens than what I had on Canon. And I also think that it's sharper than the 85 1.2 for Canon.
Ooh, really?
It's
at 1.8? Because I know that the 1.2 is sharp, but, you know, it does have some softness to it. Especially edges and stuff, but at 1.8, apparently it is just phenomenal.
I think that this beats it. I think that it is... I mean, because technically, now we're getting into like some really technical scientific stuff here. With both lenses at 1.2, completely, or at least the Fuji, is sharp at all the corners. Now, it's because it's a smaller sensor, so the glass doesn't have to be as big. So it can be flatter out towards the edges, if that makes sense. It probably doesn't, but just trust me, it makes sense to me.
It's how optics work.
It's just how optics work. This is just science, guys. Come on, keep up. I just think that it's a fantastic lens and I love it. And because it's so sharp and, you know, lets me do these Brennizers, I think that they just turn out so much better than what they did when I was on Canon.
Whew. So that's interesting you say that, because you know what I was thinking about while you were saying that was, you know, and I was thinking about past guest Elise Meter, is she rocks that 24 Sigma.
Yeah.
And I love her work.
Yes.
You know, I think her, especially when you can tell she's using the wide angle 24, it looks phenomenal. And I am currently looking to replace this guy, the 24D Nikon. It's the older one from the 80s or whenever they made them. I was like, I could buy the Nikon for whatever, you know, but
stupid expensive.
Silly expensive, but for like half the price, I can get the Sigma, and then it would be color consistent with my Sigma 35.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a long time ago, I almost went Nikon 35, and I know a lot of people don't like the inconsistencies that they claim happens, but I have no issues with them. Maybe my presets, you know, that I have saved don't affect it, but whatever the case is, I think this is going to have to be an actual topic in a future podcast, Raymond, is Sigma versus Nikon lenses, Sigma versus Canon lenses, whatever, you know, top tier manufacturers versus what a lot of people consider Sigma as a third party manufacturer.
Yeah.
Even though I think they are a top tier lens manufacturer now.
Sure.
With their
sure.
art lens, their stuff is slick.
I agree. It is. If I would buy an art lens if they had one for Fuji.
I just love it. I my 35 is like, it's never off my camera. Actually, so on my Nikon D800 right now, I was doing some comparisons because I have the old 35 F2 and
Right.
And I'm just like, I mean, it is kind of, it's got good character, you know, and I think character is a legitimate discussion, tones, color, character of a lens, but it's slow. Corner sharpness is ridiculously bad.
Yeah.
And against my Sigma, it was like night and day. But that actually brings me full circle to a little bit of what we wanted to talk about today was about inspiration. And we were talking about the longer lenses, you know, in the 7200 and the wider stuff, like Elise Meter likes to shoot, which is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Elise. And that's that, you know, I don't use my 7200 because my style and what I'm inspired by isn't shot with really long lenses. How does that work for you? Do you find yourself inspired by work that seems to be a wider area, especially when you're looking at photographic work, or are you inspired by longer focal lengths with huge amounts of compression?
I'm kind of weird. If I'm being like completely honest with you.
We know you're weird.
Oh, gee, thank you so much. If I'm being like completely honest with myself, when I look at work, I love two things. I love silhouettes. Oh, man, I'm just realizing that I love more than two things.
You can love as many things as you want.
I love a lot of things, but I'm really captivated by like extreme close-ups, like full headshots.
Ooh.
Because they just look so compelling on the computer, but I never take them, never. And I don't know if it's because I'm too scared to get, you know, that close. And I know that that's the wrong word. It's not scared that I'm like, it's not me who's scared. It's scared about breaking this wall of comfort with, you know, a bride. Because when you get right in somebody's face, like, here we go, I'm going to take your picture right now, it's very uncomfortable. And I do like to take a bit of a wider approach, and kind of all of my photos revolve around this, like, I take a back seat, like, I'll take the photos that you want, I'll take the portraits, but for most of the day, I take this back seat, and that kind of necessitates a 35 mil. Sure. However, I thought about getting the 24 mil equivalent, especially because Fuji's got this $200 off every lens, and so right now it's only down to $799, which is incredible. And not only that, but used, you can get them for like $600.
What?
Which I know sounds like a lot, you know, to a lot of people, but coming from a full frame camera, when the equivalent would used be $1,200 for 24 1.4, it's a steal. It's a steal, absolutely. But yeah, I find myself shooting a lot wider. And when I do shoot tight, it's typically for Brennheisers, which inherently makes the photos wider when you stitch them together. So it's very weird. I haven't found my style yet. And I think that it's very safe for me to say that I haven't found my style. I kind of know what I like and I work towards it, but what am I trying to say here? It's not that it's not consistent. It's that I know what I like and I shoot for it. It's just always, you know, I think we're just always learning something new. And
style can evolve constantly.
Right, right. Like, I mean, just like I said earlier, I've had a preset that I like a lot that I've been working on for a long time. And basically that's just what I used for, you know, a few years now, importing photos and delivering them to clients. But it wasn't until very recently when I tried out a few new presets and then started using the free beginner photography podcast preset on my own that I realized, man, my preset that I had before was just garbage for skin tones. Like, it was not good. Everybody either looked like jaundiced yellow or too green. It wasn't very pleasing. And really brought up that I need to work on that more. And it's not that all my past photos are bad. It's that you just keep learning and you just keep growing. And I think that, you know, what I like now is going to change next week, next month, next year. And that's okay. I'm cool with that.
That's, you know, I think that's a great lesson and takeaway for all of our listeners this week as we talk. And one of the huge things I love hearing about is how people get to their final vision. You know, when I made that preset for the newsletter for everyone who's downloaded it, I tried to keep a lot of things very neutral so that you could deviate from that very quickly and get your own impression on it. I was really just making kind of a very simplified, more film-esque type of preset based off a lot of my presets. I have four presets. I have, you know, the one that I always import with, my black and white preset. It's an awesome, awesome black and white, but it is very crushed black, lots of grain. I like that, not always for everyone else.
Yeah.
And then I have like a nighttime one where it's the exact same as the import preset, but it's toned for warmer lights and cooler tone, cooler skin tones.
Yeah.
Just to keep things a little bit balanced. And that, you know, and it's funny you say that about your preset, because I recently changed up my preset. I tweaked it. I didn't change it. I tweaked it. I used to have a pretty aggressive split tone. And then about a year ago, I took it away. I just got rid of split tones. And then I reintroduced it about 2 weeks ago, and it's a bit warmer, but it's not as, I guess, vibrant. And I'm just, it was like an aha moment. I was like, boop, I'm in love.
Yeah.
And it just took me time to see it over thousands and thousands of photos.
I think that's hilarious that you say that, because ever since talking to Luis Hermosillo, and he was saying that he shoots at like 7,500 Kelvin, which is, you know, if you don't really know the Kelvin scale, is very, very warm photos. And ever since, you know, he said that, now when I edit, I just see what it looks like a little bit warmer, a little bit warmer, a little bit warmer, and I'm just loving it.
Yeah.
And I think it's crazy. I think that this podcast has really made me a better photographer, because it's opening up my eyes to things that I wouldn't have looked at in the past. From this is kind of funny. This is kind of going off topic, but on topic. It's like thinking back to a lot of our guests is really showing me like where I get a lot of my inspiration. You know, one of my favorites was talking to Justin Haugen. And right. If you follow him on Facebook, I mean, just the work that he's putting out with Flash is what I want to do. You know, I love working with Flash, and I love creating something. I don't want to say out of nothing, but I guess he's just enhancing the scenes around him with the use of his Flash. And I think that it's incredible work. I love it, but my God, the amount of gear that he brings to every wedding, it scares me right now. But maybe in the future, you know, I'll bring an extra Flash here, extra Flash there, ask, you know, one of his tips, which I found on Facebook, is that he'll ask the groom to hold the flash. So like the groom and the bride will be together and they'll be like facing each other. And when he goes to make a silhouette, he'll place him next to a wall and then he'll just have the groom hold the flash pointed at the wall. And I was like, that's genius. That's genius. I mean, I never would have thought about that. I totally would have had, you know, looked for an assistant to do something like that. And I've done that before. I've had an assistant hide behind the couple in the exact same pose. And now it's like, I didn't have to do that.
Why bother?
It just, yeah, exactly. Why even do that now? It's just really cool. So keeping up with all of our past guests is where recently I've been getting a lot of my inspiration from just, you know, posing with Luis Hermosillo and Flash with Justin Haugen, and just a lot of natural reactions in my personal work with kids through, like you said, Elise Meter has really opened up a lot for me and has really opened up my eyes. It's been fantastic.
For sure. Absolutely. Raymond, I think, you know, I want to share a story about how inspiration really affects us. And I get inspiration from all sorts of places in music. Recently, I found some old bands that I liked in school that fueled a little bit of inspirational personal projects. But, you know, what really inspires my photographic work has nothing to do with photography. And it has everything to do with me actually just going to our local art gallery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we have the AGO in Toronto, which is the Art Gallery of Ontario. And we have the ROM, which is the Royal Ontario Museum. And both do a little bit different thing. But there's currently a tattoo exhibition going on at the ROM, the AGO. All about tattoos, traditions, tribal stuff, the history of tattooing, like even in prisons and stuff. And I find that inspires my work, not just on a photographic level, but also a sense of styling, a sense of storytelling, a sense of curation of content. And very similarly, when we go to the ROM for Friday Night ROM, which is where you get to go get into the museum and drink. They usually have like a style night. They have like Asian night where it's like all Asian infused food and beers. And they put up like old Jet Li movies on the walls. And you can just venture around the museum and like look at the dinosaurs while you're drinking. And it's really popular. But I find I'm inspired just by like watching movies of Jet Li as much as I am at staring at how someone displayed a dinosaur. And inspiration comes from everywhere, but inspiration comes from the things you like. And you need to keep exploring, keep adventuring, you know, and be open to letting even something simple create some ignition that takes you off into a new avenue.
Yeah, I think that that's a perfect way to put it. I mean, yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, your inspiration doesn't always have to come from photography. And my inspiration doesn't always come from photography either. My inspiration comes, I mean, a lot of times I don't know where it's going to come from. Sometimes it does come from photographers, and a lot of times it does, but sometimes it just comes from watching a good movie. I don't want to say music so much. Sometimes I guess it does, but you know, I think other people have a better time relating music and just creativity than I do. So I just like to listen to music. I listen to music while I edit. But a lot of my listening comes from podcasts. I like a lot of podcasts. It's just, you know, seeing something new.
Right.
I think that's what it is. As long as you are interested in things, like genuinely interested in things from whatever it is, you're going to find interesting things. And whenever you find something new and interesting, that's when you're going to get like cool new ideas. And that's just how I kind of look at things as well. So I think that we should just go ahead and wrap this up. We talked a lot about inspiration and just, I don't know, kind of shot the shit. I had fun. Did you have fun?
I had fun. I'm always having fun.
Good. Good. Okay, cool. Well, in that case, why don't we kind of wrap it up for our listeners? If you haven't already, you should go sign up for our newsletter, the beginnerphotographypodcast.com. Again, click the link up at the top to download 5 tips to making your photos better immediately.
Right now.
right now. And then when you do that, you'll be entered in, you'll be receiving the newsletter. You're going to get all the latest information as well as the contest that we are extending 2 weeks. And again, feel free to reach out to us. You know, if you have any questions, we've had a lot of questions this week. Feel free to reach out, ask any questions. We've had a bunch of questions this week from Instagram user Hermosa8Photo. You know, just asking simple questions, whether to spend her money on a camera body or, you know, camera lenses. Because, you know, a lot of the times you just don't know. So having somebody that you can reach out to and ask these questions, we're always more than happy to help. So feel free to do so. But I would say until next week, and next week, well, let's just say that it's going to be a magical podcast. Did I give away too much?
No, but okay. Let them sit on it. Let them sit on it.
Right on. Well then, guys, until next week, follow us on Facebook, Beginner Photography Podcast, and Instagram, Beginner Photo Podcast, as well as the website, beginnerphotographypodcast.com. Listen, Tom, he said do it now.
Do it. Raymond, I hope you have a great week.
Thanks, man. I hope you have a great week, too. I appreciate that. I feel the love. That feels good. Thank you.
Listeners, I hope you have a great week. It is really hot up here in Canada now, and because I complained all winter about the heat, I cannot complain about the heat now. I'm loving it, even though I'm sweating to death.
See, here in America, that's exactly what we do. We complain about the cold, and then in the summer, we just complain about the heat.
Awesome. Great.
America. All right, guys. Until next week, get out there, shoot something fun, and share it with us on Instagram or Facebook. I hope you guys have an awesome week. Later.
Later.